verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Also in Revelation 21, I'll read number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And if you would consider this for a subject, don't worry, the fight is fixed. Don't worry, the fight is fixed. And for a subtopic, beyond the grave. Amen. And the choir looks so beautiful. And it even looks like Christmas in here. But I hope we don't get too caught up in the Christmas shopping of things that we probably don't need and others don't need. But remember more of what the season is all about. For we realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. But most of all, we thank you for your love. For you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for us. And God, for that we say thank you. Lord, come into this place and have your way, God. Use your woman servant, for I am your woman, and this is your people. Have your way, God, in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So for a subject, don't worry. The fight is fixed. And for a subtopic, beyond the grave. Let me start by saying, one day, we're going to die. Because statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of every one person will die. Shocking? It shouldn't be. But sometimes I think it seems to be the untimeliness of death or the way death comes. But sometimes it shocks us even when we see it coming head on. But don't worry, the fight is fixed. There was two boxers. One was named Henry. And he had 36 wins under his belt. And one was named Bill, and he had none. Now, Henry was known to be a dirty fighter. And so Henry and Bill had set out to have this fight. Bill, even though he had no wins, he had a new coach. Now, his new coach had no losses. And Bill also knew that his new coach knew the judges. So when they began the fight, people had put their money on Henry because they said he's going to knock him out within the first 5 minutes. And then Henry and Bill started the fight. Well, 5 minutes would pass. Yes, Bill was taking a lot of knocks, and he was taking a lot of licks. But all of a sudden, Bill got a lick in, and he hit Henry so hard that Henry fell on the floor for the very first time in his career. But Henry got up before the referee could count him out. And they began again. Round one, round two, and in the third round, Bill was taking more punches, more hits. And all of a sudden, he reared back, and I mean, he gave Henry a good one. And Henry hit the floor again. But this time, he didn't get up. And the crowd, in their amazement, they looked and they said, wait a minute, we want our money back. This fight is fixed. No way that that could have happened. We want our money back. This fight is fixed. Now, we all know that some fights are fixed. We know we've seen wrestling matches and fights, and we say that fight is fixed. And we know that those wrestlers and fighters, sometimes they just want their money so they can go back home to their family. But we know that that wasn't reality. But what's more real and applicable to you is that you are also in a fixed fight.
Yes, sir.
Your opponent is Satan. Your coach is Jesus Christ. And the judge is God. The bribe is the blood of Jesus, which was shed on the cross of Calvary. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Even David knew when he stepped in the ring with Goliath that the fight was fixed. He knew that the greatest of the greatest was on his side. The scriptures sum it all up. The fight is fixed and the outcome is already determined. You see, the devil is defeated. The Lord is exalted. And we win. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, that's enough for somebody to say amen. Somebody needs to give God some praise. Amen. Amen. I also heard a story of a man who was passing through a cemetery, and he stopped to read the tombstone, which said, "Pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." The man read it and he thought for a moment, and then he said, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." Amen. I'm just saying. Can't follow everybody, can you? And yes, we have to face it. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "There's a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment." Even the psalmist reminds us in Psalms 90, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Because in all things, we need to get an understanding. Right. Now, my mom would say, "Heaven is my home, but I'm not homesick yet." Right. My Uncle Harvey used to say, "Long as I have a foxhole, just long as I get in, I'm going to be all right." But I always say, "I want my mansion. So I'm sending up timber right now because I want the biggest mansion I can have." Amen? Amen. I know you must be saying, "This is such a depressing subject, knowing what we've already been through." And yes, I want to talk about Esther, part two. But know the Lord steered me here. And we must talk about this because we must face it head on before we can go forward. Besides, only those who are prepared to die are those who are ready to live. Amen? Amen. Even Jesus had to face the death of his earthly father, Joseph, in order to move forward in his ministry for his heavenly father, because he had to be about his father's business. He had to move beyond his earthly father's carpentry shop to accomplish his assignment of leading him to the cross. Amen? Amen. So I have some good news and some bad news. Let's start with a statement of fact. After the grave, you continue to live, because death is not the end. It's just a continuation of it in another place. Now, the good news is, if you are a Christian and Jesus is your Savior, that place is heaven. And the bad news is, if not, that place is eternal damnation. Well, let's take a brief look at what Jesus has to say about what happens beyond the grave. Let's start with John chapter 5, verse 25 and 29. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. And shall come forth," this is 29, "they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Right. Now, this is God's word. These aren't my words. I don't have a word. Amen. I can only report to you what God has told me to say. And I always try to show you in the scripture what I'm saying, so you'll know that scripture backs up everything the Lord says. Amen? Now, there are some questions that people have and thoughts about looking for answers beyond the grave. Some of them are, what happens right after I die? What kind of body will I have in heaven? Will we know one another in heaven? Do people in heaven know what's happening here on earth? And are they watching over us? Number one, death is not the end of existence. I'll repeat, death is not the end of existence. And I will blend these in with the ones I just read. Now, number two, the final judgment. There is a final judgment. Number three, there are two forms of existence beyond the grave, and also two destinations, your choice. The kind, number four, the kind of existence or destination you choose depends on your relationship that you have with Jesus or the lack thereof. So let's start with number one. We are eternal creatures, both believers and non-believers. So it really doesn't matter whether you're a believer or non-believer, you're going to live forever because the soul lives on. Now, some religions teach and some atheists say that when we die, we'll be put in a box, go in the ground, and that's the end. But you see, that's just not true because Scripture teaches us that we live on. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Amen? Number two, is there a final judgment? Acts 17 and 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now command all men everywhere to repent. 31 says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of these by raising him from the dead. Amen. Then 2 Peter 2 and 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the coming judgment for punishment. So no question, there is a day of judgment coming. Now the coming judgment should assure us that God is fair. It should satisfy our needs of righteousness in the world that we live. And I know every time we turn on the TV set, there is always something bad happening in the world. There's violence, there's killings, terrorism, racism. And we ask ourselves, how can they keep getting away with this? Where is God? Why is he letting them get away with this? But the Bible tells us they're not going to get away with it. Amen? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And see, our job is to stand and see the salvation of the Lord and let God do the judging. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you. There's that word. The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is keep still. And how we keep still is by praising God, praying and meditating and using common sense. Amen? Amen. Yes, everything in the universe will be paid for, either by being washed in the blood of the Lamb, by the offenders repenting of their sin, and accepting Jesus as their Savior. And I know some of you say, well, this is not fair. Sometimes there's so many people that have done so many wicked things. They've hurt so many people. They've harmed, they've killed, they've maimed, and they get the same justice as we do. That just doesn't seem fair. But the Bible says if you accept Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. And it also says we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we all continue to sin sometimes. But if you have Jesus in your heart, he's the one that's going to forgive you. Amen? So we're not the judge or the jury. God is our righteous judge. Or it will be paid for by the non-believers in the final judgment by those who do not know God. Satan and his followers are fighting a losing battle because the fight is fixed. Amen? All There are two forms of existence beyond the grave. Because if you look at verse 28 and 29 again, there is the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, or the believers and the non-believers. So now let's bring some clarity to this area. The first resurrection is what the true believers will experience. So when Christians die, they go immediately into the presence of God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You see, Paul's desire was to depart so that he could be in the presence of the Lord, because he said that is far better. But he also desired to stay here for a little while longer to help those Christians gain strength and understand the word and get an understanding. But he did want to depart and be with the Lord. Amen. You remember the two thieves hanging on the cross beside of Jesus. And one of the thieves was talking a little smart talk. And the other thief looked at him and he said, "Why don't you be quiet?" He said, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve what he's getting. But we deserve what we're going to get." But he looked at Jesus. He said, "Lord, if thou be the Christ, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And what did Jesus tell him? He said, "This day." He didn't say tomorrow or 5,000 years from now. He said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Amen. You see, the death died when Christ arose. I said death died when Christ rose. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Amen. Although you're home free if you die in the Lord, this is not the final judgment. There is a final judgment. The unjust will be sentenced to eternal damnation. But on the other judgment, even though you're home free, you're here with the Lord, but there's going to be a final judgment for Christians. And that final judgment is the reward ceremony. How many has ever been told a reward ceremony, even for your children, your kids, and they're giving out gifts, amen? Well, there's going to be a reward. And they're going to be for the things that you have done here that you get rewarded for in heaven. And most of you say, "Well, I need to get busy." And I say, we need to get busy. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get your rewards, you're going to be happy. But sometimes you can see even your children, when they go to an award ceremony, nobody gets their award. Maybe they get a blue ribbon just for being there. But when you get this reward from the Lord, that's all the good things that you have sent up to him. Now, some of us get our rewards here on earth. We brag about what we've done for somebody, how we helped them, how they didn't have anything, and we had to come to their rescue. We did this and we did that. Well, guess what? You've already got your reward. Amen? See, when you keep silent, those are the times God's going to see what you do in secret, and he's going to reward you openly in heaven. Amen? What kind of bodies will God give us when we get to heaven? 1 Corinthians 15, 42 and 44 answers that. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And yes, even though sometimes our bodies down here, they disappoint us, don't they? They hurt. They ache. Sometimes we can't remember things. We have a senior moment even when we're young. But when you're raised, it's going to be full of glory and full of power and raise a spiritual body. Oh, I remember one time I had something. I said, "Why am I hurting all the way down to my big toe?" I couldn't figure out what it was. That's the most pain I'd ever felt. I told somebody about it. They said, "Sound like you got a sciatic nerve." I said, "What is that?" So, of course, I got to go Google everything. So I Googled it. I said, "Oh, man, it looks just like the picture I'm seeing right here. It's a sciatic nerve." I couldn't turn over in the bed. I couldn't walk really good. And even if you sat down, you had to get back up because the nerves up under your legs, somebody know what I'm talking about, start aching and hurting. And then after a while, it got bad enough. I said, well, Lord, I didn't know dirt could hurt this bad. And so then I said, well, I might need to make a doctor's appointment. So I fasted and I prayed. I said, I better try Jesus first. I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to tell God all about it instead of complaining. And so I went ahead and made my doctor's appointment. And when I reached the doctor's office and I opened my door and my foot hit the pavement, the pain began to leave. Amen. And then I went ahead and got the doctor's medicine, went to the drugstore and got it. I said, in case this don't go, I said, Lord, forgive me. In case this don't go away, I said, forgive me. It's going away. And I didn't have to take the medicine because within a week, it was totally gone. Amen. Never been back. So God will do it, won't he? And we will be in a perfectly glorified state, an upgraded version, not disabled, not in pain, not hurt. Sometimes we have to get our big toe cut off, then our ankle cut off, then our leg cut. He's going to restore all that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. In 1 John 3:2, when Christ rose, he was in a glorified body or his resurrected body. He was not in a physical state. And I know that's how when his disciples was behind closed doors, he just appeared to them. And they didn't know where he came from. Even on the road walking, he appeared to some people. Now, I don't know if we're going to have a body where we can just appear some places, but that might be super cool. Amen? And yes, we will know each other. So that's a question some have. Will we know each other in heaven? Yes, we will know one another. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, we'll know fully as we're known. See, heaven is a reunion. That's what we talk about. I can't wait to get over there and see my loved ones. Amen?
Amen.
We'll get to see each other. But our love will be more stronger, more pure, and more lasting. We are the same people, but we're better and more perfect. That's all. Just like when Jesus Christ rose, he said, it is I. Handle me. Touch me. Give me meat to eat. And he ate. Amen?
Amen.
He was in his glorified body. And as I bring this argument to a close, the last question is, will those in heaven know what's happening here on earth? Are they watching over us? Can they see us? I know some people will say, I know my loved one is watching over me and protecting me. They spoke to me and they tell me this and that. I talk to them all the time. But see, we want to be very careful when we talk about this subject.
That's right.
Because first of all, I have compassion on people who desire to be connected with their loved ones, who grieve deeply over their loss, which is the reason some people go talk to psychics and mediums seeking to communicate, especially when the death was tragic, unsolved, and sometimes we have guilt of feelings. And so we have feelings of guilt about not resolving some of the things with our loved ones. Amen?
Amen.
And while I understand the needs and feelings of hurt, but first of all, your loved one does not speak to you from heaven. I said your loved one does not speak to you from heaven. So if you are hearing voices and thinking it's your loved one, it is not them. Number two, they don't guide us and they're not with us because they're with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Besides, how can they lead and guide us when they can't see the future to guide us from danger?
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen?
But the one who is guiding and protecting us is the Lord,
amen,
our Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who is leading and guiding us.
Oh, yeah.
He leads me beside the still waters. When things don't go according to plan, when we become afraid and upset, he gives us peace.
Uh-huh.
It says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When we want to go left, he's the one that's steering us to go get back on the right track with his righteousness. It also says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It didn't say your loved ones follow you, but it says surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then we get to dwell in the house of the Lord. Right. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Yes, the fight is fixed. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. He said, and whether I goeth, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For you see, in my Father's house, there's peace. In my Father's house, there's joy forevermore. In my Father's house, there is love. In my Father's house, we'll know each other. Amen. I'll have that blessed hope that my Father owns it all. In my Father's house, we'll have all eternity to praise his name. In my Father's house, every day will be like Sunday. Amen. In my Father's house, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sickness. The ambulance is not going to roll anymore. For in my Father's house, there'll be no more headaches. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more crime. In my Father's house, there's love forevermore that's going to be in my Father's house. And don't you want to go? Because in my Father's house, there's room for everyone. Amen? If you don't mind standing to your feet.